Number 7 of Hebrews 13 said, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever." Verse 7, I'd like to preach to you this morning, if the Lord will help us. Three words there, right in the middle of the verse. It says, "Whose faith follow?" That's what I'd like to preach to you about a little this morning. Amen. Followers of faith. I looked in one different version. I don't have any version, but off to the side of my Bible, King James, all I preach out of. But off to the side, it says there that this means to consider the issues of their life and imitate their faith. I thought about some great men that I followed, some great men that I've known, and I'm glad that I had the privilege to meet them through my life. I'll preach in a minute here, but I remember the first camp meeting that I ever went to. I'd already was saved and started to preach, and I really didn't know a lot of churches except right around home. Those little churches there, and started preaching in 1970. In March of 1973, I felt like the Lord told me to go. I preached 110 straight nights and worked every day. And it just about killed me, to tell you the truth about it. It really did. So March of 73, we hit the road. I remember what one brother told me. He said, "You better buy you a lawnmower." I said, "What for?" He said, "You better be cutting grass on the side or doing something. You'll never make it." But we launched out. I didn't even really know about camp meetings. First youth camp that I ever went to, I had children. I didn't even know about them. That's the truth. But I remember Brother Claude Ely. A lot of you knew him, I'm sure. He pastored there close to us. We went to their church a lot. It wasn't my pastor, but he called me on the phone about a week before the Allentown camp meeting that next year in 1974. And he said, "What are you doing next week?" Well, I thought he was going to have me for revival. I said, "Nothing." He said, "Well, I'm going to camp meeting down in Alabama." Said, "I feel like you ought to go." And I said, "Well, heard about them. I guess I can. We'll try to go." I remember that year. Going to the camp meeting, March 1974. Of course, we've been back many, many, many times after that. Great men like Chester Shell, I don't know if you even knew him down here. Brother Bridges knew him. He's a mighty, mighty man. First time that I ever went to Free Gospel Bible Institute in Export, Pennsylvania. I wasn't too much back then, you know, in Bible schools, tell you the truth about it. But I went to that one. That was in 1975. The next year, he said, "We're going to Holiness Convention. You want to go?" I'd go anywhere if they wanted to go. I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." I never will forget, they asked Brother Shell to preach a day service, and you had to know Brother Shell to appreciate it. They got him up to preach, and all them Bible school students there, and they're doing just so-so. Brother Shell would put his glasses down on his nose, look over top of him, you know, when he preached. And when he'd get happy, he'd take his coat off, and he'd kind of grab it with his finger and twirl it around his head and run through the crowd. And I remember about sitting about halfway through the congregation, Brother Shell got up to preach and took his text, and some of them students kind of snickered at him. You know, I guess his style of preaching. Snickered a little bit, but when he grabbed his coat off and started twirling around his head and running through the crowd, I heard a couple of them young men said, "I want that. I want that right there. It's what I want to do. I want to do that." And I remember great men like that. And I didn't know that Brother Moore was going to preach like this. I already had these notes wrote down. Amen. But great men that God helped me to meet. I remember I didn't even know there was a church, a Holiness church in the state of Oklahoma at this time. I preached a revival at a little church in Batavia, Ohio, about 60 miles from home. little bitty church. They had about 10 or 12 members, and God blessed us, and we had about 40 got saved. They built a new church still going on right now in 1976. And that year, the pastor of that church had a brother who pastored a little church in Mustang, Oklahoma. You know where that's at? And he said, "You ought to go preach for my brother." So I went out there, and he said, "Do you know a guy named Jim Bennett?" I said, "Never heard of him." He said, "Well, why don't you go preach for him while he's here?" So he come and heard us, and he said, "Do you know a guy named Don Rich?" I said, "Never heard of him." So Brother Rich had us to preach. We later preached two or three revivals in a row for Brother Rich there when he was in Norman. And he said, "Why don't you stay over and go to Bristow?" "What's Bristow?" He said, "Man, you just ain't been around, have you?" I said, "No. No, never have." That's 1976. And there got to meet other great men like Brother Moore. Brother Vince Wilson, I don't know if you knew him either, but Brother Wilson was a great man. Where Brother Randy Webb's pastor now, before he went there, I preached an Easter revival there 5 straight years. Right before I settled down and started pastoring myself, 5 years in a row, we started revival at that church at King Mountain, Virginia, on Easter Sunday. Brother Wilson had a little room, had a little trailer there. Some of you remember a little green trailer. I don't know if it's still there or not. But he was always there at that revival. And I heard about him all my life, got to meet him. What a mighty man that he was. Amen. And then Brother Neil Bridges. I remember first time that I ever met Brother Bridges. Remember the first time that I met him. I was just a young preacher, just getting started. And through him, I heard about men like Brother Dean and Brother Morgan. Before I ever met Brother Morgan, I felt like I knew him because I heard so much about you. And it's all good, every bit of it. Amen. Heard so many great things. So I'm preaching this morning, if God will help me, where the Bible said, he said, "Whose faith follow?" Amen. Follow them. I thank God for mighty men like this that we have, that we can follow. What an example they have laid for us. I remember one time somebody making fun of Brother Ely because of the song that he wrote and really made it famous. He wrote it, "There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." And I heard some of them say, "That's not proper English. Why would anybody sing a song?" And really, Brother Ely didn't even sing "There ain't no grave." He sung "There ain't no grave." And that's kind of how he sung it. And they said, "That's just not proper to say that. Wasn't proper," but I'll tell you, I don't know if I ever heard him sing it that I didn't see the power of God fall. Amen. Even though it wasn't proper, it was powerful. Amen. Somebody say amen. Thank God for those mighty men. I'm not too familiar with the icons of this part of the country, but I thank God for men like this that I mentioned, that we've had the opportunity to look at their lives, and they have set forth a pattern and give us an example or an ensample, as the Bible tells us, that we can follow. I thank God for great women. My mother, and I know you didn't know her, Brother Bridges and Wayne back there, Brother Wayne from goes to our church. And that was one of the greatest women that ever lived. Not because she was my mother, but my mother for 20 years till she become a real bad diabetic. And she couldn't. But for 20 years, from Friday evening till Monday morning, she never ate a bite or drank a drop. She fasted from Friday night to Monday morning, 20 years, for my dad and for the church services. One of the greatest women, praying women, that I ever met in my life. Really, why I got saved was not the preacher, but her. I remember coming out of the woods squirrel hunting. I was 14 years old. I come out of the woods. I was crossing the fence, the old family farm, Brother Neil, and I was crossing that fence, and I heard my mother praying, "Oh, God, I've got 4 boys, and none of them saved. God, save my children." I was the youngest of those boys. I laid that old double barrel 12 gauge up by the fence post, wiped my eyes, and pushed out my chest so I could be brave and tough and not act like it bothered me. Walked in the house, and I thought she heard the noise. She quit praying. She kept right on praying, God, whatever it takes, save my boys. I couldn't stand it any longer. I walked out of the house and left. I said, God, if I live to go to church tonight, we had church on Thursdays, and that was a Thursday. I said, I'll pray tonight. I went to church that night, and I still remember all them years ago when the Holy Ghost moved and some old saint of God stood up and said, and I didn't even know it was in the Bible, but he stood up and said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be, whether it be good or evil. And I ran to the altar like that boy did last night, knelt on my knees and said, God, if you'll save me, I'll try. And for the last 35 years, I have. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for great men and great women. This morning, I hope that we do follow the example of these great men and women that was before us. I thought the Lord gave me this message last night. I've never preached this before, but after Brother Morgan preached the way he did, I knew God gave me the message. Amen. When he was preaching, I felt it churning in my heart. I am really worried about our movement. I've been preaching 32 years myself, and I worry about it. In our part of the country, I see men that are going back and that are letting down and loosening up, and it really does worry me. I'll tell you this. I'm going to try to preach. I'm just laying a little foundation here before I preach. I went to preach a funeral a few months ago, and I debated, should I call this guy's name or not? If I called it, nobody would hardly know, but the tape, I doubt if he'd ever get a tape from a Holiness church, but he accidentally might, so I won't call his name. Anyways, from our part of the country, we grew up together. We grew up together. I preached at his church. He preached at mine. And he got saved when he was 5, got the Holy Ghost when he was 6. An absolute ball of fire. He's the first one I ever seen shout off the piano. He'd stand up and play with one hand and dance and shout and speak in tongues with one hand in the air and playing with the other. I mean, he could switch hands in the middle of it and just tear that piano apart. I mean, could sing and still can as far as having talent. He's talented. I remember when he took that church, just a young man to pastor. And I know the more I talk, you're going to catch on, Brother Neil, who it was. When they called me and asked me to come over and help preach this funeral of this man, he had, him and his wife had died, and a lady in our church, her husband had died, and they had gotten married. Anyway, he said, they want us both to preach this funeral at my church. I thought, oh my Lord, I didn't want to go. I'll be honest with you. Walked in that cathedral, and I looked on the Sunday school ledger. I wrote it down. They had 1,445 one Sunday morning. That beats me by about 1,300. Anyway, and the other Sunday, he had near 1,700 in Sunday school. Soon as I walked in, Brother Buzzard, he started defending himself, you know. Isn't it funny how they will? He walks up to me. I'm there to help preach a funeral. I wasn't wanting to talk about nothing. First words he said, I still believe in holiness. I said, well, good. He said, I still preach it. I said, good. He said, what I can. So now I can't preach on a lot of things. I'd lose my crowd. And he said, somebody's got to pay for the new floor we put in the basketball court. That new floor, said it cost $150,000 for the floor. He said, it's NBA regulation style. He said, I can't really preach all I'd like to. And I looked at him. I called him by his first name. I said, well, Tommy, I said, where's your mom? And he said, I knew his mother from years ago. He said, the one back there with the earrings on. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, me too. I wish you wouldn't wear them. Then he went on. I said, where's your sister? He said, right there. I said, where? He said, right there. I kept looking. Last time I saw her, she had dark brown hair, and now she is blonde. He said, the blonde. I said, oh, I thought she had brown hair. He said, she did. She did. Anyway, he began to talk to me the whole time. And when he took his first 15 minutes to preach before I took mine, my wife could tell you it's the truth. You know what? He never said nothing about the man laying in the casket. The whole 15 minutes, he got up and said, I'm glad Brother Miller's here. And said, you know, he preaches women ought not to cut the hair and ought not to wear breeches. And he named everything in sight. He said, really, I'd like to preach that my own self, right? I would like to. He just went on and on and on. And my wife said, never in my life have I been to a funeral where somebody never said nothing about the person that died, nothing about heaven or hell, and just defended himself. I just sat there and didn't say a word. I never seen nobody with that many in his church be intimidated like he was. Anyway, when service was over, walking around by the casket, and when we shook hands for the last time, he come over and told me, he said, now, Dave, he said, I want you to know when you leave, he said, I still believe in holiness. I just can't preach it like I'd like to. I said, why not? I do. He said, yeah, but how many have you got? I said, I only run about 100, 150. I ain't got what you got, but I said, I sleep good at night. I said, I feel good at night. I said, when I preach a funeral, I don't defend myself all the way through. When somebody comes by, I don't feel like that I have to stand up and explain my congregation. Hey, come right. I told somebody, I said, you want to know what we believe? Come on over. You can see for yourself. Praise God. I thank God for holiness preachers. I am so glad that I ran in one day to Neil Bridges and Leon Buzzard. I'm so glad that I ran into Don Rich and Vince Wilson. I'm glad that I knew Brother Ely and Chester Shell and many other great men like that. Oh, Brother Emery, I worry. I feel sorry for our young preachers coming on. And I say, oh, God, what are they going to have to look to? What are they going to have? What kind of example are they going to have to follow? I tell you, I would live this no matter if it killed me, if no other reason, for the 14 preachers in my church. I want them to see that you can live it. Praise God. Oh, I had a couple, some of those that I preached 100 times, I could have maybe impressed one or two of you with. But I feel like God really gave me this thought here. The Bible said those that have rule over you, he said, their faith follow. Follow their faith. When you see these great men of God, them's the men I want to follow. Amen. I may not know Brother Morgan too well, but after today, I want to follow guys like that. I want to follow guys like Brother Dean and Brother Buzzard. Thank God for them. Anybody could follow this new charismatic stuff that's going around. They jump like us. They shout like us. They sing the same songs like us. And our church people have took off after them and followed after them. But they've lost their faith, and they've lost their power, and they've lost their anointing. Oh, glory to God. I think I'll follow our old patriarchs. Amen. I got to hush and try to preach here. I'm not going to follow this other stuff. Bible said in Proverbs 22, to be careful not to follow sinners. You know why? He said, lest thou learn his ways. I don't want to learn their ways. Well, we got a new way of doing this. I'd just soon not learn that. Amen. I'm old school. I am. I took a pretty good-sized church, beautiful church, and I've had a couple preachers stop by, and they said, if I had this facility, if I had this nice, beautiful building, and I was in this metropolitan area you're in, said, if you just curve it a little here and just curve it a little there, you know, we can see about 500. And they said, you could fill this place up. I said, I know I could. There ain't a doubt in my mind. I like people. I'm a friendly people person. And that's all you got to be if you let them do whatever you want they want to do. It ain't hard to fill a church. It's kind of easy to fill a church. But if you preach the truth, it's not too easy to fill a church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother Wayne Cornett knows I'm talking about. There's a man, every time he sees me, he'll say, "What are you doing wrong down there at that church?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think I'm doing wrong?" Well, he said, "If you wasn't doing something wrong, you'd be running 1,000 and knocking out the walls. What are you doing wrong?" Finally, I got tired of it one day. I know what he's going to say. He's seen me coming in the hospital, had his hand stuck out, and he's walking toward me. He's fixing to say, "What are you doing wrong?" I looked at him. I said, "What are you doing right, brother?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What is it you're doing right? How you get that big crowd there at that church?" And then I stopped, and God help me if I used a bad spirit. Now, you got to forgive me. Who said I didn't like a bad spirit? You? Hope I didn't use a bad spirit. I said, "That's okay. You don't have to explain." I said, "I know what you're doing right. I know what you're doing right. Amen. I know how you got the crowd." Oh, there'd be no problem this morning right here in South Georgia in the country if you want to pack this place out tomorrow probably, or at least next year in the day service. You could crank out the windows and have them standing in the grass. All you got to do is say, "Come as you are, do as you please. Don't live nothing, don't preach nothing." And you could pack it out. You wouldn't have to worry about finances. But what would you have? What would you have? Come on, folks. I'll tell you what, I'd rather take this crowd and be in this service and feel the spirit I feel here today. Amen. Let's follow on in the example that we know. There's an old song they sang up home, said, "I'll take the road that I know." Well, that's how I feel. I think I'll just take the road I know. I know there's new ways. Amen. What's that song you sing? "There's many paths through this world of sin, but only one I shall travel in. It's the old crossroads or the way called straight. Because there's just one way to the pearly gates." Woo! Glory to God. There's only one way, saints, to the pearly gates. New paths, new ways. But He is the true way. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to follow what I know is right. Amen. I started out, like I said, about 35 years ago, and I haven't changed. They asked Gene Huff in a business meeting I was in with him one time, and this one man looks over at him and said, started really putting him down. Brother Huff said, 35 years or 40 ago, when I come through this country, he said, "Some of you," and he pointed at him, he said, "thought I was worldly." He said, "Now you same ones think I'm a fanatic." He said, "What in the world has happened? I believe the same way." And that one guy just turned around, sat down. No answer came. No answer came. Hey, I was glad when I got on the campgrounds and looked and seen Brother Watson. I said, "He looks just like he always did." His wife come over and shook me and my wife's hand. I said, "Thank God she still looks like she always did." I've met some of them come up and say hello to me. I had no idea who they was. Now, I ain't talking about hair turning white. Mine has too. I'm talking about some of them who used to could put it up, now couldn't if they wanted to. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah, some of them you knew there's a lady when they walked up. Now you just don't know if they are or not. Praise God. I'm glad for this way. This is a good way. Somebody say amen. The Bible, since I'm preaching on follow anyway, I might as well throw this in. The Bible said to follow peace. I know that. But it also said, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So what are we to follow? We're to follow holiness peaceably. Amen. With everybody who let us. Amen. Hey, man, I've stood against my own family. I have. And I got some brothers that's very intimidating. You know, they ain't like me. They make big bucks. I mean real big. And I've had them try to intimidate me. I've had them tell me, one brother, Lord, I'm telling too much, first time I ever been here. One of my brothers got mad at me, come up and knocked on my door, and he come up and told me, he said, "You're not the only person in that church." I said, "What are you talking about?" My oldest brother, 63 years old. I looked up to him as a brother. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You're not the only opinion that matters." Okay. And he said, he went on, I said, "Where's this coming from? Where's it going to?" Finally then, I knew his wife had been trimming a little bit. And I hadn't asked her to sing since then. And he had mad over it. So he come up and he just told me, he said, "Let me tell you something, buddy." He said, "I was there when you was born. We had the same mommy and daddy." He said, "Let me tell you something, boy." He said, he's telling me all about when I was a kid and all the meanness I was in. And he wasn't going to listen to me. Others might, but he wouldn't. And he just really lit me up. And I couldn't tell you a third of the conversation. It hurt me, yeah. I wanted to cry so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. But I'd die before I would cry. I looked him right in the eye and he got done. I said, "You done?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Mine ain't the only one that matters, but it's the only one going to count whether who gets in the pulpit or not. The only one. I ain't asking you or a deacon or nobody else. Don't get mad at me now. That's just what I said. It is the only one that's going to matter." And I said, when she quits snipping and clipping and prays and says that the Lord has forgiven her, she can come back anytime she wants to. He said, "If you mean that," said, "I might just not come back." I said, "Boy, I'll sure miss you. I love you, but I'll miss you." You think that was easy to do to my own brother? When he walked back down that lane, it broke my heart. I did go in and cry like a baby. But I told my wife, I said, "Brother or no brother, I'm not changing for him." Amen. No, no, no. And I know I've had some of them tell me, "Brother Miller, that's ancient history." I've even had them tell me, "You're not old enough to believe like that." I said, "Well, I was fortunate enough to meet some of them that was old enough that did believe like this and got convinced early. I believe this because I'm totally 100% convinced." Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody told my son, my boy is a good preacher. He's now my assistant pastor after 10 years on the road. And they told him one day about a certain issue. And I won't mention it because it is controversial. And I've got a little reputation up home being hardcore on it, so I won't mention it. You may not believe it like me, but I'm pretty strong on this one issue. They asked my son about it, and they figured, he's the boy. He's only 30. He won't be hard as his dad. So I think they thought they could run to him and find comfort and solace in him. So they ran to Brian and was asking him about it. And Brian was a little more tough on that particular issue even than me, and I didn't think that was possible. And one of them got mad and said, "You're just saying that because of your daddy. You wouldn't be like that if it wasn't for your daddy. That's the only reason." When it got done, Brian said, "You know what? If Dad changes his mind tomorrow on that," he said, "I'm not changing my mind." He said, "Because it's right here in the book." Brian said, "I read him about 5 scriptures and say, just turned and walked away." There's a lot of them will say that. But brother, if we get converted, amen, I think it'd be even easier to follow. But if we don't have some, how are we going to have an example? They'll look and say, that brother don't preach it, or that one don't preach it. Well, thank God, Leon Buzzard still got enough nerve to talk about getting snake bit. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean it. I am going to take that tape home and give it to all 14 of my preachers. Well, 13. One of them's here. The other way. Amen. Let me hurry here. I'm going to preach. I'm going to try to preach. I don't think it's wrong to imitate good men. Sometimes, and I hope I don't cross your doctrine here, but I know some of them, a while back in our church, one of the little kids got in the middle of the aisle. They dance around, praise God, and they're shouting around. Mom and Daddy whooped them. Now, if you feel that way, it's all right with me. But I said, I'd leave them alone. I said, yeah, but I said, how old is that boy? 3. I said, let him shout. I'd a whole lot rather him shout as to be imitating somebody of the world. Wouldn't you? I hope y'all with me on this. Now, when they're 13, they do need a whipping if they're imitating them. But when they're little fellas, I'm glad they can see something. I'm glad. My grandson's getting bad for it now. He's getting real bad. Brian's little boy was out in the middle aisle, And he had just carrying on as a sight Sunday night. Matter of fact, I said, I'm glad Devin was getting in. Nobody else in the church was. I said, but at least, thank God, it's happened enough times he knows what it is. We was all pretty dead, and he's right in the middle of all this, jumping and shaking and screaming and going home. Brother Dwayne's little boy, Matthew, back there, you've never had any fun until you hand Matthew something that looks like a microphone. It don't have to be a mic if it just looks like a mic. And before he could talk and all he could say was amen, he'd grab that mic and he'd run and he'd point his finger and he'd jibber jabber and squall and holler. And every now and then he'd say the only word he knew, amen! And he'd point that finger. And if he could find a box to get up on, he'd crawl in that box and he would do it. Am I right, Wayne, Tanya, till the sweat or the perspiration would just roll off of him. I mean, roll off of him. And he'd holler, amen. And Wayne says now he's learned a few more words. He's getting a little older. And now he's saying, amen, come on. Amen, come on. Praise God. I'm glad that Matthew is saying, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope our children don't lose it. Amen. These great men that have rule over us, that's led us, that's pastored our churches, preached our revivals, their faith is what I want to follow. One of the reasons that I'm a little bit hard on preachers about, I just think preachers ought to have a good record, don't you? I'll leave it at that. One reason is what kind of example are they going to have? If our evangelists are all fallen preachers, and if our pastors are all preachers that has backslid 12 times and filed bankruptcy twice and got their third wife. Now, come on, folks, somebody help me here. What in the world does that tell our congregations? We need good examples to follow after. God forgives of any and everything, but we need good examples in the pulpit. I'm going to leave it at that. I'll tell you about one more, because he's from here. You know, Brother Butler, I didn't know as well as all of you, but I remember two things about him. First of all, I remember 4:30 in the morning one morning. I don't usually get up that early. That's a couple hours or maybe two and a half before I get up. One morning, 4:30, the phone rung. I staggered out of the bed, bumped my toe. I thought somebody's died, somebody's bad, sick. I finally got the phone. I said, hello. He said, good morning, Brother Butler here. I said, see you, Butler? Yes, sir. What are you doing tonight? I said, I have no idea, Brother Butler, what I'm doing tonight. I ain't even up yet. He said, go take a shower, throw you some clothes in your car, and get down here. We're going to start revival with you tonight. I have regretted it, Brother Bridges. I was about half asleep. I said, Brother Butler, I don't think I can. Yeah, you can. So I felt like it when I woke up this morning. Well, you know, I said, let me pray about it. Why? I said, well, let me pray. And I said, you call me back. He didn't call me back. I see him later. I said, brother, I hope you ain't upset at me. He said, man, I felt like revival. I called somebody else. I said, we had to have revival right now. Amen. But you know what? Even though I thought that was odd, that was good. He wasn't wasting no time. 4:30 in the morning, he done got an answer. He wanted revival now. Other thing I remember about Brother Butler, I was down there preaching for him one day. I'm not going to hit you, brother. I'm going to show you what done to me. You can be me and I'll be Brother Butler. We were sitting there and he just showed me his radio room. He looks at me and he goes, I thought, what on earth is that guy fixing to do to me? And he kept looking and wham, he wrung my jaws. He hurt me. I thought, what did I do? God just smacked me in the face. And then he went, I got him. I got him. There's a mosquito lighted on me. I wish he'd have just shoot him away. I had his fingerprints for probably a half hour and a half. I went and told my wife. I said, look at my face. She said, Lord, what's happened? I said, Brother Butler just knocked a knot on me here. Amen. Well, you know, I've tried my best to never smack an evangelist. I don't know if I ever called one at 4:30 in the morning, 13 hours away, and said, hurry up and take a shower and get down here. But you know what? Thank God for great men like that. You know what? If he is alive today, I'd say, Brother, here, smack both of them. Go ahead. Smack them both. If we had Claude Ely back, I'd ask him, Singer, Hain't No Grave. And I'd say, Hain't with him. It wouldn't bother me. Chester Shell was here. I'd take my coat off and twirl it with him. Amen. They may say that those men, they were old-timers and they were old fogies. But, brother, let me tell you, it was men like that that carved out holiness campgrounds like Broxton. Amen. Men like that is why we got men like this. Oh, thank God for those great examples that we have to follow. Follow them. Don't run after these newfangled things. Don't be jumping out up after every charismatic preacher comes along, every big singing group that comes along, everybody who can quote four or five scriptures. Oh, let's follow these good men and women that we know lives right. I've done and been myself. I might as well go ahead. Brother Kevin Webster, I don't know if y'all like him or not. I love him. He's one of my absolute favorites. He's Indian too. I'll tell you what, he preached me through two or three revivals. I love him. But I remember, Brother Bridges, first time I had him for revival, there was a neighboring pastor. I send out a little handbill like a lot of us do. Come if you can. Anyway, this neighboring pastor calls me up and he said, when's that dude coming? Dude? That's kind of how he talked. Now you know who I mean again. When's that dude coming? I said, well, Brother Webster's going to be here on this date. He said, you know, he's kind of talented, but I couldn't have him. I said, why not? He said, because. And you know, I seen Brother Webster, he preached our youth camp 2 weeks ago. Where's his necktie now? You believe that? I said, Kevin, what's happened to you? He said, nothing, brother. If it offends you. I said, no, it don't offend me. But anyway, you know what he said? He said, I can't have that dude. He said, he don't hardly ever wear a suit. He don't hardly ever wear a necktie. He said, all I ever seen him with was that same one old sport coat. He said, I can't afford to have him. He said, my people dresses, and I quote, sharp. Well, I told Diamond, hung up. I said, oh, forgive me. Here goes my bad spirit again, Brother Leon. I said, I hope he don't even come visit our revival. Amen. I hope he don't. Brother Kevin come, and just like he always dressed. You know, just that sport coat and them khaki breeches. But let me tell you right now, boy, he had anointing. Woo! He got to preaching. Folks got to shouting and dancing. I don't know how many got the Holy Ghost, how many got saved. We had a mighty move of God. Later, I seen that pastor at a Ryan Steakhouse. I said, man, that dude tore it up. I just had to say it. I said, he tore it up. Amen. Well, you know, that pastor now, I'm not happy about it, but he's out. He's not even preaching, not even saved. That breaks my heart, Brother Emery. But you know what? Brother Kevin's still preaching. Amen. I remember when I first started and hit the evangelistic trail, maybe that's why I like Kevin's well. I had one sport coat, one nice pair of breeches, and one white shirt. My sister sold chicken eggs all summer long and went to Robert Hall's. I couldn't get them at Robert Hall's now. It wouldn't fit me if there is a Robert Hall. She went and bought me two cheap polyester suits in 1973 when I went full time. And my mama and brother bought me a pair of wingtip shoes. First pair I ever had in my life. And I took them two suits and that one white shirt and that pair of wingtip shoes. And I thought, buddy, you talk about a guy got it made. I got it made. Thought I did. Amen. But you know what, brother? We had some mighty moves of God. Woo! Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. That little church I was telling you about in Batavia, Ohio, I never will forget what broke out revival. I'm going to tell you a bad secret on myself. That church was so small, you could almost reach over here and reach over there.